super competitive. So many people skate and there's so many people that are good, but some aren't sponsored because they might do the wrong thing. They might have the wrong attitude. They might only never leave their local skate park. There's so many factors, but then when you're all around really good and you just, your level is above kind of the rest, then that's when you are kind of like a top pro and you stand out and you can make a really good career out of it, especially nowadays with all the opportunities. And like my friends are in the Olympics now, which is crazy because skateboarding is in the Olympics. The new school.
This is The New School with your host, Christine Hong. Welcome to a new kind of school where we talk about career paths you don't normally get to hear about in the classroom. Every episode, I talk to someone with an interesting life path and learn about how they got to where they are today. Hey guys, happy Monday. I'm your host, Christine Hong. So when I was growing up, I remember stressing about how to make money after school, especially as graduation was approaching. I never ever considered if I just focused on a casual hobby I enjoyed growing up that I would be able to find a way to make money off of it one day. But that is not the case for our guest today, Matt Miller, who grew up breathing, eating, sleeping, and skateboarding. His passion for it paid off as he started getting sponsors just by hanging out at the local skate shop, and he ended up writing for the skateboarding brand Expedition, who turned him pro in 2010, and then got DC Shoes as his official school sponsor. In this episode, I chat with Matt about how he created his first skateboarding trick, how he got his first sponsorships and went pro, and what it's like to have your own signature sneaker.
Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
How did you start your interest in skateboarding?
Basically, just my friend and I, when we were kids, we found his stepdad's skateboard in his garage. It was like an old plastic one, pretty much. And we just started riding it. And then his mom surprised us with skateboards. And that was it. Every single day, all day. And that's all I did. Fell in love.
What did you like so much about it?
Just that it could be on my own. I mean, I like sports and everything, but I wanted to learn at my own pace. And it just, something about it was more artistic than just like a sport, you know, and everyone is different and it's style. And there's just so much that goes into it that you don't really see from an outside perspective. So once you actually get into skating and see it, it's like, it's a beautiful thing with artistic wise, you know.
I like how you talk about the solo aspect and learning at your own pace. I can find myself kind of crippled sometimes with pressure from others, especially in the beginning, because sometimes it's like learning's kind of like this, and then suddenly you peak. Like for my company right now, I'm trying not to get funding because I know as soon as I do, I'll get all this pressure to grow really, really quickly. And I can't handle it right now. Yeah.
The best way to do it is grassroots and just, you know, every big business is started in a garage.
Yeah. Are there any other sports you really liked, or was it just skateboarding for you?
No, I liked watching football. I never wanted to play it, but my mom got me some golf lessons at this like premier place somehow. And they wanted to train me and take me on this tour and make me an amateur golfer and all this stuff. And they said I had a natural swing apparently, but I was just like, oh, I just got a skateboard. I'm good. And I was more on like the not trying to go with the grain of life. And skateboarding was kind of like an outlet, not like normal, and it's underground. And I don't know. It's cool to me. You know what I mean? It's raw.
Yeah. Where did you grow up again?
I moved all over California, but lived in Southern California a lot of my life. I lived in San Francisco for a lot of my skate career. Now I'm in Los Angeles for the past little while.
Cool. Wait, but you were born in Pennsylvania though.
Actually, I was born in Northern California and then moved there for a second because my whole family's from there since like the 1800s. And then they moved all, like my mom and dad moved to California. So yeah, all over kind of traveled my whole life.
So when did you first start thinking, I just want to do skateboarding my whole life?
I never really thought it was going to be my job. Like I always worked and I had my first job at 14. And I always wanted to do something that I loved. And then once I started to get kind of some free boards and get hooked up by a couple of people, then it kind of like became like a glimmer of hope, you would say. And so I just strive for it and skated every day. I worked a graveyard shift so I could skate in the day, and basically didn't think it was going to happen once I was like 19, 20 years old. And I was like, well, I got to go back to school and get my life together. And it was fun, you know, and then literally had my classes. And 2 days before I left to go to school, I got a call to travel and be sponsored and get paid. And I was just like, all right, let's go.
Wait, wow. You mentioned getting a free board. How did you get this first free board?
It was through like the local skate shop. Me and my friend would hang out at the skate shop and bug the skate shop dudes, and they would give us like discounts on boards. And then we started skating, and some reps or whatever would come into the shop. And then people that owned the companies would come in the shop. And he's like, hey, look at these kids. They skate good. So they would just like give us some free boards in case anything we turned into anything. And then started doing stuff with Quicksilver when I was younger. And then, yeah, just turned into like this domino effect of a career, I guess.
Okay, I can't quite picture the skating world because I've never been a part of it, but what's the scene like at the beginning? Do you just hang out the parks and like the shops and you just kind of get discovered?
I mean, when I was growing up, it was a lot different. It was just, you had to kind of be discovered by other professionals or at least people in the industry. And then you also had to be cool. You had to be accepted. You had to like be approved by everyone. So they throw you in the van basically and test you out to see if you can like, you know, connect with everyone in the van and don't, you know, set off a bad vibe.
Wait, like an actual van?
Yeah, like an actual tour van that travels the US, and then we fly, like travel the world and do tours all the time, and you're just nonstop traveling. So,
okay, what happened in high school though? Was it mostly just like meeting professionals and getting free stuff and meeting some sponsors?
Yeah, like I said, I was hanging around the skate shop. You'd see some pros come in here and there, and then kind of works like that. The skate shop owners know all the companies because they buy their products, and then when they come in, they're like, oh yeah, we'll hook up these kids that you like sponsor. Pretty much the skate shop would sponsor us, and then as you grow and get better, people notice you and you make sponsor videos.
I guess that just feels so casual to me, because for most sports you have to try out to get into a school team. There's a recruiting season where college coaches come check you out, and you don't really meet, like, you're like, oh hey, like Shaq, like what's up, like just walking into the shop.
That goes back to what I liked about skating more than the regular, you know, college sport or whatever, is because there was no guideline. There wasn't like, oh, you have to do X, Y, and Z, you know, like you have to run this amount of time, you have to do this. It was like, you do what you want, and you either are really good and stand out in the skateboard world, or you just are really good. Somehow it worked out, and I just kept skating and was with the right people, and they liked me, and just, you know, it all worked out.
Do you think anybody who just started skating and just practicing every day at all the parks would end up naturally meeting people and getting discovered, or is there a path?
Yeah, skateboarding is like the biggest brotherhood, sisterhood of it all. Like if you have a skateboard, no matter who you are, you're instantly like family and the homie. And yeah, that's the best part about it, is like biggest, you know, worldwide gang, you would call it. You go anywhere and you see someone with a skateboard, they're going to take you in. Like you'll end up probably sleep in their house if you're somewhere who knows where. That's just the cool part about it. And yeah, it's just, it just takes you everywhere. People are super kind, and like I said, there's no rules, you do what you want.
That's so cool. How do you like learn your tricks, or how did you come up with your first original trick?
Being on my board constantly. Like all I did was literally eat, breathe, and sleep skateboarding. Like I went to school and did my work, and the second the bell rang, I was out skating until 2 a.m, even when I was like 14, and just skating around the neighborhood and just never not on my board. Or if I wasn't, I was watching skate videos and studying it. And it was just true, just all I did. Didn't care about anything else.
Okay, so I remember you said when you got your first free boards and sponsors, you kind of were like, ooh, maybe glimmer of hope, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what did you do next? You moved to San Francisco at 17, right?
Yeah, my best friend that I mentioned before, him and his mom moved up there. And so I got free flights for my dad. He worked for the airlines back in the day. So I would just fly up there and ended up falling in love with San Francisco just as a skateboard city, as a city in itself. And at the time, you could skate anywhere. It was like a big skate park in the whole city pretty much. And it was just candy land for a skater. And yeah, so I just was like, you know what, when I graduate high school, I'm moving up here. And that's what I did. I saved up money. I worked and moved up there because there's a lot of industry and opportunities up there, and always kind of moved where the skateboard scene was. So if like you're in the middle of it, you can kind of have better opportunities to meet people. There's always people coming into that city, flying from all over. And it's originally how I got my main shoe sponsor, is someone came into the Bay Area and saw me and skated, and then that's how that happened.
First of all, why San Francisco? Is that just a really big skate city? I don't know. We're the biggest skate cities in the nation.
There's pretty much New York and San Francisco for, you know, big.
What about LA?
Well, LA is big, but it's not like metropolitan. So for skateboarding, like when there's big buildings and, you know, huge downtowns, and SF has hills and stuff like that, LA does too. But you know, LA's great downtown, you know, and all that back in the day. But it's more or less like the aesthetic of being downtown in a big city. And that's why you see a lot of kids in New York filming down the big streets, and just looks and everything about it is cool. There's tiers. There's like your city skateboarders, there's your skate park skateboarders where they just do contests, and then the half pipe ones like Tony Hawk and stuff, you know. So
cool. So you moved to San Francisco with your savings, kind of just cross your fingers for a while, and the things just kind of work out, or were there any struggles on the way?
Oh, still struggles every day. Never as easy. No, it was, I was late in the game for skateboarding. I was, like I said, already 19, 20 and not even sponsored.
What? That's late in the game?
Yeah. I mean, kids are like already getting noticed at age 15 now, I feel like. And some kids turn pro at 19 or 20. You know what I mean? That's like the average, I feel like. And I didn't turn pro till I was 25.
Well, how long were you in SF until you were like, oh, I'm making enough money that I could just live off this. I don't need savings anymore.
There's like, you become amateur and then you become professional. And so when you're amateur, you basically get not really that much money. You can. I got paid decently, luckily enough. When you turn pro, that's when you actually have your name on stuff. So you have real financial opportunities. Basically, I was still amateur and still working so I could make money and still skate. And then I was getting paid a little bit, but just not enough to live off of. And then once I finally started making enough money where I was like, wow, I now make more here because I started making, like, getting better sponsors and all that. So then that's when I was like, well, I can now do this full time because I'm in the process of about to go pro. So there's like a huge money jump.
Yeah. What's getting sponsors like? You said a couple came up to you, but do you have to proactively reach out to them at all?
I mean, sometimes, but I think that reaching out is the best thing you could do nowadays, especially with social media and everything like that. It's just to be noticed. And it's also like you don't want to try too hard because there's so many kids out there that are too worried about being sponsored. And it's just like, you can't worry about that because if you skate and are really good and you're going to these skate parks, people are going to notice you and they're going to see you and then they're going to film you and tag you. And then that's how it kind of happens, is like word of mouth. Someone's not going to sponsor you if you're emailing them every day and they're like, okay, well, just show me that you're skating every day instead of trying to be sponsored.
What does it even mean to get sponsored? It just means like if you wear their hat or something or their skateboard, then they pay you?
It's just like being like a, for example, like a basketball player, when they sign a contract with a team, they're on that team, right? So now they can use their name and they use them in their videos. And it's kind of like having a team where it inspires other people to want to get their product. So if you have the best team in skateboarding, you're going to be like the coolest and everyone's going to be buying it. And like Supreme, they started as a skate shop and look at them now. It's like the best thing ever.
I know. They're marketing geniuses. What was the first like team you were on?
Well, the first big ones were DC Shoes and this one called Zoo York. It was out of New York. And yeah, they traveled like crazy and they were big companies that made a lot of money. So that went well. And yeah.
You said, okay, so you moved to SF when you were 17 and you became pro when you were 25. So that's 8 years. So what was kind of the path to becoming pro? And what does pro even mean, honestly, as a skateboarder?
Basically just means they can sell your name on things and you've reached a level where you're really good and people want to buy your product.
Okay. So when you were pro, is that when you got your Matt Miller shoes?
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. Do you get to design that shoe? I'm always so curious.
Yeah. I mean, there's some guidelines, but yeah, I had some inspirations and would go into the office and there's a full shoe team and tell them what I want. And I mean, if I would have done like a complete different shoe, if I had like just my own design, but there's guidelines and stuff, which is understandable.
That's so cool. So you said you didn't really use social in the beginning, but I see you have a huge following now. So like, when did that come into the picture?
Just as I started to basically figure out that that was the new thing and that's how you connect with people. And I really thought like, wow, if I had this as a kid, being able to like follow my favorite pros and stuff, like why would I not want to do this? So yeah, I never got like super influencer type where I'm filming myself all the time and stuff like that. Like I need to be better about on my Instagram. Yeah, I knew it was an important tool. I knew it was a way to connect with friends and family and just a cool new thing. So I was like, oh yeah, I'm definitely gonna get this. And plus all my friends were like, get it. So yeah.
When did you create your first Instagram and Twitter? And did you just post stuff and things started working out because you were already pro and people knew who you were?
Yeah, kind of just was able to be in a position where I had a lot of other people that already have been on it and, you know, have good followings. And then once I started going and I'm in the van with the people right there. So it's like, as you grow, people want to follow you as you become a pro. And like I said, you just kind of grow. And I never took it super serious. Sometimes I'll post once a month. Sometimes I'll post 7 times in a week. Just depends on content and what you have. Get it, you know?
I feel that. That's awesome. You can just be genuine. It works out for you. Yeah, so well. Yeah. Wait, can we go back on these van tours? What are they like? When was your first tour?
Oh, my first one was the most memorable one ever. It was a 40-day U.S. tour, starting New York to SF, L.A. to Miami, and then back up. And it actually got cut when we were on the way back up to New York with Hurricane Katrina. So that was 2005. It was insane. It was 2 vans with the trailer and 25 dudes. And every time you go in to eat somewhere, it's a big old crowd that just comes in and people are just overwhelmed at everywhere and hotel stays and just people being wild. And yeah, it's fun.
Wait, 25 dudes in 2 vans?
Yeah, 15 passenger vans pretty much. So it's like,
oh my God. And then you just like skate and perform for people?
Yeah, you just travel and you film on video. You take photos for magazines. You do demos. You go to skate shops and do signings. And then either do that in the U.S. or you fly all over the world and do it.
How often do you tour during your career? Like every year?
Oh, like during my height, I was maybe home 3 days a month.
Did you like that?
Yeah, at the time I loved it. I didn't have a dog like I have now and stuff, so it was easier. It was awesome. It definitely had its exhausting moments, but I was doing what I love, so there's nothing else I'd rather do.
Was there any struggles along the way while you were doing this career, like on tour, like living off skateboarding, becoming pro?
Oh yeah, so many struggles. Like I said, when I was amateur, there were so many times where I still didn't even know if I was going to go pro and be able to make a career out of it. And it just somehow every time at the last little bit, I just wouldn't give up and it just would somehow something would pull through. And I had so many people in my life be like, are you sure you want to be doing this? Like, don't you want to get a career, blah, blah, blah? Because like I said, I was probably 24, still not making a lot of money. And
yeah, then a year later, you're pro at 25.
Yeah, it all just started domino effecting, like I said, and somehow got into like the biggest contest and then all this stuff where I was able to make decent amount of money.
Is it just judges giving you a score for the contest? How does that work?
Yeah, contests were never really my thing. I kind of just, they had a vote and people put in their street video parts to like get in, and then all the pros and people voted and I got voted in this contest. I never really did contests, but I was like, sure, I'll come. And like I said, it was huge and good opportunity and meet new people and make a decent buck while doing what I love. So I was like, all right, I'll go try. And I never really like did that well, but I had fun and I did good sometimes, you know, so it was a good time.
Anyone can skateboard and get money. Yeah.
Yeah. But at the end of the day, I'm doing what I love to get paid for it. So
are things pretty chill after you turn pro, or is there still like even more hustle you have to do?
Oh yeah, it didn't stop. I mean, that's when it kind of just like, all right, now we got to keep, you know, really going. And you start having to film a lot more videos and be more interactive with companies as far as designing things and doing colors of this and shoes and skateboards and all that stuff. So definitely get a lot more busy, I feel like. You start to learn the more business side of it. When you're amateur, you're just hungry and skating, and that's all you think about.
Do you feel like it's very competitive, or is it more like performing your best personally?
Yeah, it's super competitive. So many people skate and there's so many people that are good, but some aren't sponsored because they might do the wrong thing. They might have the wrong attitude. They might never leave their local skate park. There's so many factors, but then when you're all around really good and you just, your level is above kind of the rest, then that's when you are kind of like a top pro and you stand out and you can make a really good career out of it, especially nowadays with all the opportunities. And like my friends are in the Olympics now, which is crazy because skateboarding is in the Olympics. So
what year was that happening?
It was supposed to be this year, 2020, but it got postponed to next year. So
oh, this is the first year that you can. Wow, that's so awesome.
And it's all through the same contest that I was in, so it was like so cool to see all my friends now that were younger and still, I didn't make that generation age thing, but like they're all in it now and it's just so cool to see that.
Wait, so do you mean like you're retired now when you're saying that?
No, I mean I still skate, but I'm not in that contest series. It was like invite only at first, and now it's like a full qualifying, like more modern day sports style where it's like you have to qualify and win and get into all these things.
Well, I guess I'm wondering at like 25 when you turn pro, what's your day to day? Like you practice every day, but you're also on the van contest.
Yeah, wake up every day and just see what your phone says as far as what crews are going out skating. And then basically you just meet up around 10 a.m., whatever time, and you're just out skating till around evening time. And then you go have dinner with everyone and either hang out after that and go skate more or just go home.
There was nothing else. Like you didn't have to be like, oh, time to do social media now or time to talk to my agent.
I mean, yeah, I would have days where I'd call my financial advisor and stuff like that, but that was all just on your own when you're at home. And some days it's like your own schedule. You're an independent contractor. So if some days I'm really sore and I can't even walk, then I'm not going to skate the next day. So I just take the day off and recover pretty much.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. Like, have you ever had any major injuries?
Yeah, I mean, both wrists a few times, my elbow, some other ones, but yeah.
Why don't skateboarders wear helmets?
It's not really going to stop a broken wrist or elbow, but some do. But like, you kind of learn your limits is like a whole thing. You learn how to fall. You learn all these things.
Yeah.
And if you're just starting out, yes, I highly recommend you wear a helmet because I just saw a video today of someone that's been skating, looks like, for a year, and they still just could have got out of it, but they didn't know how to fall, so they hit their head. And you got to learn all of that.
Random question. What's your favorite trick you've ever done?
I mean, switch back nose blunt. That's my favorite trick.
What is that? Looks like, or I don't know. Show me now. No.
I don't know. You'll have to look up a backside nose blunt.
Okay. I'm going to add a reference to this, the YouTube link on our show notes.
It's one of the coolest looking tricks in skating, in my opinion.
Okay, cool. Yeah. I'm excited. That's the weakness of a podcast. Cool. So do you think you were representative of the typical pro skater?
No, not at all. I would get categorized as like pro skater. You think kind of like a jerk, whatever. That I would get pretty much stigmatized into some things. And I was the complete opposite where, you know, I grew up in a big family where they have good morals and all this stuff. And like, I would be nice and help an old lady across the street or whatever it is, you know, just good deeds and do good things. But there's been so many instances where I have my skateboard and people think I'm like about to rob them or,
oh really?
Oh, like, yeah, it's just way too much. And I'm just like, hey, it's okay. Like, I'm actually a human and really nice. Actually, if you just approached me and asked me to leave, like, I wouldn't want to disrespect you. I'll leave, like, the whole thing. And they just are like, the heck? So I actually came up with an idea that started working where I was just like, oh, we're actually filming for the Olympics and we're getting people's reaction on how they hate us on skateboarding. They just completely change. And they're like, oh, no, you guys can go.
Like, yes, you say Olympics. Too bad there's not like official jerseys, I guess.
Well, kind of. They have like a uniform thing, I think, but it's like more of a tracksuit.
Cool. So what kind of projects are you working on these days? You mentioned a few already.
Yeah, just trying to grow Miller Healer CBD, millerhealer.com. But yeah, just trying to grow that because it's a great product and everyone that uses it swears by it and it just is super effective. So I just love that part about it, just trying to grow it and grow it. And there's a lot of competition out there now. And
yeah, what was your goal you wanted when you saw that competition?
I just wanted to start something that helped people. And I've always, like I said, wanted to just help people. And I just saw the way it would just relieve, like, my mom, for example. She has crazy arthritis in her wrist, and she would cry at night sometimes. And, like, then once I formulated our product and we did R&D forever and got it right, I gave it to her, and she was just, like, in tears because it took the pain away. So that is why I'm like, all right, that's what it's about. So that's why I started it.
Did it help your pain when you were a skater, too?
Yeah, once I started using it, but unfortunately, I was already like 30 years old or 35, you know, like, but yeah, now I use it still and it helps me.
How did you deal with the pain before? You would just take it down?
No, I didn't like pills. I didn't like anything not organic. I would just eat good and take ice baths and fill my tub up with ice and jump in it for a while. And that really did what it could, you know.
What's your favorite and least favorite thing about being a pro skateboarder?
Favorite thing is you're doing what you love. You're with your friends and there's this feeling that you can't get a lot of other places when you achieve like trying the same trick for days and days and you finally get it, and just a lot of life lessons in that. And the things that are cons about skateboarding is probably having to deal with like the politics and all that kind of side of it.
What kind of politics?
Just little things, like, you know, like I said, when it becomes more of like, some days it really feels like a job because you have to do things you might not necessarily be that into, or in a contest, for example, they would have their top seven guys. So they always would score these top seven guys to make it into the TV final or whatever. But, you know, if you're not one of those dudes, it's going to be really, really hard for you to make it into that top spot. So it's like, it's kind of politics and favorism a little bit, you know what I mean? So,
oh, because it's an arbitrary creative score.
Exactly. So
if they're friends with the
judge.
My
whole view was like, it's skateboarding is so hard to judge because it's like, how do you judge an art competition? You know, like, how would you judge like Monet and Da Vinci? Like, you can't really compare. Everyone's so different in their style. And yeah, you can compare tricks and how hard they are. But to me, it's more of like an art and aesthetic, and doesn't necessarily mean the hardest trick in the world is going to be a nice, pretty looking trick.
Has quarantine affected your career anyway?
Yeah. I want to go outside in the world again, skate like normal and be able to.
Because all the parks are closed. Yeah.
Yeah, parks are closed. So it's more like neighborhoods and stuff like that, which is normal anyways. Companies are kind of being effective. I've seen some friends getting laid off of being pro and pay cuts, all that, you know. So it's definitely not the funnest, but we're getting through it. And all we can do is be positive.
Well, they're opening up the beaches this week in LA, and includes surfing, does include skating?
I'm guessing. I mean, I still see friends that go down to Venice and stuff and skate on the boardwalk or the path.
Nice. Yeah, I'm waiting for them to be untaped. What's a typical retirement age for skateboarders?
Everyone's different. I guess you would say average would be 29, 30. That's like if you're doing pretty good. And yeah, I mean, now it's different because people are actually like athletic more and taking it more serious. Back in the day, people just didn't really do any of that. I'm 35, still have a professional board. So, you know, I have friends that are 40 and still doing it. And, you know, so maybe not at their like top level anymore, but still influential enough to sell products and make a difference, you know?
Yeah, that's awesome. When did you start creating your CBD business?
We launched it June of 2018. Just before that was just, like I said, doing R&D and testing it and giving it to some of my friends and athletes until it was right. And then June 8, 2018 is when we launched.
What else is next for you? You mentioned real estate.
Yeah, I'm about to become a new agent here in Los Angeles. So, you know, you have one now in case you don't.
I don't have one.
Yeah. Perfect. It's just awesome. Like I said, it's been another passion of mine because I always like architecture, real estate. I bought and sold one myself because I just wanted to get into it. And my mom's a real estate agent. And so it's like, I've always had an interest in studying it. Love just the whole aspect of it. I can negotiate good, all of it. So I just feel like I'll do really well.
That's so interesting. You've had like this whole career and now you're starting all these new things.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I like to stay busy and keep it going, try new things. And keep expanding.
What do most other skateboarders do when they hit their 30s? Is it just also start their own kind of businesses?
Some start it when they're younger in skating. Some end up not doing much. It just all depends, you know, and some become really successful. I know other skateboarders that have become real estate agents and been successful, all different ranges kind of, and or they work in the skateboard industry.
What is the most difficult decision you've had to make to fulfill your destiny?
Probably to sacrifice a lot of time at home because I traveled so much. That was probably my biggest thing. Like I said, I was always gone. So like I'd miss some family barbecues, or, you know, I even missed my cousin's wedding back in the day. And it was just like hard for that. But that's it. I was pursuing my dream so that they understood.
What's the biggest mistake you think you made in your career?
Biggest mistake? Don't really regret anything. Like I said, I'm super proud of my career and stuck to my guns and never really like sold out or did anything and kept the same sponsors and all that. Now that I look back, there's some times where I'm like, well, I could have, even if I was sore at that moment, I could have skated my butt off and got another trick on film that would have lasted forever. If anything, just taking more advantage of certain situations while out skating. But yeah.
Did you ever dislike the fame or exposure?
Yeah, I don't really care about fame, my celebrityness, all that, like, doesn't matter. I could see whoever and just be like, hey, how's it going? That's something I've always been told from people and fans and stuff, like especially at contests, they're just like, whoa, it was crazy. You just talked to us like normal, like no one else would, and came and gave us a time of day. And I was just like, yeah, I mean, I'm just a human. I just ride a skateboard. It doesn't make me cooler than you, or you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I never got into that whole fame. And
what do you think is the best thing you did for your career?
Worked my butt off. My work ethic pretty much got me to where I was. If I had any opportunity and I was there, like I said, with DC Shoes, they said, hey, do you want to come down here and have a meeting? I was already up in San Francisco or Sacramento at the time, and instantly got in the car and drove down to San Diego right then and there. And,
oh, wow.
You know, it's just like that kind of work ethic, and always just like to work hard. And it's just how I was raised. So
what was that meeting like with DC Shoes? They just hit you up, come down. What did you guys talk about?
Yeah. I mean, they had seen my footage, and another one of their pros had been like, yo, we need to hook this kid up. He was like a really top pro on their team. And so they're like, all right, let's check his footage. So they saw my footage and they're like, hey, we love your footage. Like, we want to come talk to you. And I was just like, straight down there. And they're like, yeah, we want to get you a part of DC and kind of like get you on the squad. And I was just like, I was just like, okay, cool. Like, just deep down, but like losing it deep down inside, but trying to play it off.
Yeah. That's so cool. You have all this footage. What's your favorite video? We're going to add it to our show notes. Like, what do you think is your best video that we should show
for? I mean, probably my video for getting that shoe is like a pro video, like a pro shoot it's called. And yeah, that one, we put a lot of effort and traveled. And yeah, I know. I actually just hit up my filmer friend. He came on this tour we did for my shoe, and we went to Southeast Asia, Thailand, everywhere. He did like a little docu-style kind of three-part series video, and I was like, hey, you still got that? And like, I just posted on my Instagram recently, so it's like something to keep for down the line, you know what I mean? It's like kind of like shows how a trip is and what goes on, and it's kind of cool.
Right, so for all the other kids, 20-year-olds, maybe 30-year-olds out there, what advice would you give to them looking to live off skateboarding?
You can live off skateboarding forever. You don't have to necessarily be a professional skateboarder, but if you want to be, like, put your head down and just skate. Don't worry about anything else. Just skate, skate, skate. That's all you need to do is progress and learn and just keep pushing yourself, learn how to fall, just keep going. That's all I got to say is just work your butt off and you're going to get better. Anything you do with that amount of passion and time, and, you know, be patient, be super patient, and just keep your head down.
So this is another interview. So we usually give guests like 60 seconds to pitch anything they want. Is there anything you want to pitch?
Just like I said, if you're interested in healing those painful areas, just check out millerhealer.com. It's CBD, really, really good CBD. It's non-psychoactive, so there's no THC or anything like that. Legal everywhere. We can ship everywhere. And like I said, just maybe my Instagram, Matt Miller Skate, if you ever want to check it out. I might be changing it to real estate stuff eventually. If you're ever into real estate, you could probably check out. I mean, I don't have my website yet, but it's probably going to be mattmillerrealestate.com. And
how many Matt Miller sites will you have by age 40 is the question.
Hopefully as many as I can, but you know, I just want to keep going and keep hustling and work my butt off and yeah, help people.
So thanks for having such like a amazing, chill, genuine attitude.
Ah, it was you awesome. Too. Thank you.
Hey guys, hope you enjoyed our interview with Matt Miller. I loved how genuine he was and his chill manner with his career. He just kept sticking with what he loved and was able to make a career out of it. You can find links to anything mentioned in the episode in our show notes at thenewschoolpodcast.com/episodes. Stick around to the end to hear a sneak peek of next week's episode. To stay up to date on content, make sure to follow us on Instagram at The New School Podcast and on Twitter at The New School Pod. Be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. If you rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, you could find your review on a future The New School episode. Do you feel like you or someone else would be an amazing guest on our show? If yes, please contact us on our website, thenewschoolpodcast.com/contact. Want your ultimate guide on how to turn your passions into a meaningful career? Subscribe to our weekly newsletter at thenewschoolpodcast.com.
The New School with Christine Hong is produced by Jenny Snyder and Shristi Biani. Editing by Sydney Salk, John Simpson, and Joseph Cho. Video editing by Josh Stanley. Special thanks to our marketing team who helped us spread our mission and put the New School name out there. Katie Osaki, Emma Borgerding, Giovanni Cortez, Cynthia Shao, Dina Che, and Marissa Wolfsheimer.
Next week is our last episode for season two. On the show, we're going to have Julia Oboto, who has her own hypnotherapy business.
To summarize what hypnosis is imagine what someone said to you when you were a little kid. Like, there's something that someone said to you that was when you were a little kid that has always stuck with you, even into adulthood. There's a belief that you have about something. If it's about road trips, it's about planes, if it's about cooking for yourself, it's about money. This belief was installed when you were a little kid. Now, with a hypnotherapist, imagine they go back in time to you as a little kid, and for a year straight, they tell you that you're amazing, you're smart, you can do anything that you want to do. For a whole year, at the age of 7, someone told you that every day. Imagine how different your life would be.
Come back next Monday to find out from Juliet what being hypnotized for the first time was like, why that experience caused her to give up her 6-figure sales business to become a full-time hypnotherapist, and what her day-to-day is like now. All right, guys, have a great day. Try something new today.